الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل القرآن كتابا كريما وهدانا به صراطا مستقيما وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا وشفيعنا ورسولنا وكريمنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى وقال الله عز وجل وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واركعوا مع الراكعين وفي شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite and abundant praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has guided us with the beautiful deen of Islam and sent us the most prestigious and honorable seal of prophets, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Almighty accept our sincere intentions and efforts today and make this day, these moments, a means for our success and salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. As you are well aware, over this week, many masajid throughout the UK and also throughout the world have been commemorating and remembering the sacred and beautiful journey and ascension of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which is known as Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. The journey and the ascension of the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam from the dunya to the heavens, where he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also his return back into this dunya. And it is said, qila, that this took place in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. Other historians state that it took place in the month of Rabi'ul Thani and Rajab and Sha'ban, and equally also in the month of Ramadan. Nevertheless, irrespective of which month it took place in and which date historians designate to the particular event itself, this is a fact for the Muslim Ummah, that we know and we acknowledge and we accept that this event took place in the life of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, because it is recorded within the glorious and most noble Quran. And it is also part of the discussions that the Arabs had relating to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and the impossibility of such an event taking place. Within Isra and Mi'raj, many scholars discuss various aspects of Isra and Mi'raj. What took place in the first heaven, the seventh heaven, how the journey took place, why the journey took place, and various other aspects relating to Isra and Mi'raj. But the most pertinent and the most important thing for us to remember, for us to consider, for us to remind each other and for us to share with one another are the gifts that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this sacred night. And three distinct and particular gifts were bestowed upon the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So insha'Allah al-Aziz, today we will try to understand one of those particular gifts and how integral and fundamental it is in our lives, and how we must ensure that we protect, nurture and take care of this gift and make sure we honor it, because it has come from the greatest of places, the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to share with all of humanity. The beautiful gift, which is the gift of salah. The gift of salah. So whether you consider the journey which took place from Makkatul Mukarramah via Madinatul Munawwarah and stopped at Masjid Al-Aqsa, the physical and worldly journey that took place. And from that point onwards, the ascension into the heavens, beyond time and space and through the heavens, meeting many, many and various prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth and seventh heaven, and then going far beyond that as well to Sidratul Muntaha and beyond that in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But part of all of this is for us to remember that look at the journey that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam took for our sake. And look at the extent that he traveled to go and collect this gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll give you a simple example. When you receive normal posts, you can tell straight away, oh, this is a local post. And when it's a white letter, then generally it's either from the bank or it's from the hospital, etc. If it's a brown letter, then you think it's from somewhere else. And you can tell from the stamp straight away, this is a local post. But when you see a post which is foreign, which is from another country, the packaging is different, the stamps are different, the tappe are different, and you become inquisitive, oh, I wonder what's in this. This must be precious, this must be valuable, this come from a far place, and then you begin to think and anticipate what could be contained within this particular package and item. Why? Because it has come from a far and far away place, so you designate a certain amount of anticipation and honor towards that particular item. So why should we not always look at salah in the same manner and fashion? Then look at where it has come from. Look at who it was sent by. Look at who it was given to. And how the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam brought it from the heavens and gave it to us. The most noble, the most honorable of gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon the ummah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Because salah itself could have been mandated on earth. Ramadan was mandated on earth, was it not? Of course. Hajj was mandated on earth. And various other commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were mostly and all given to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam on earth. But salah is that one gift, that one noble gift which shows you the quality of it, which shows you and illustrates the rarity of this particular gift, that it was given to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, not in Makkah, not in Taif, not in Medina, not in Jerusalem, not anywhere else, but only when he was the most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى. When he was just a bow's length or two bow's length before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he had traversed through the entire universe and gone beyond any other creation to see and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is that maqam and that place where the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was given this particular gift. So this is why we should really reconsider and understand that when we're coming to prayer, it's not just an ordinary thing that we do. It's a thing which connects us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which enables us to travel through the dunya, through the universes, and be before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's the salah, and the origins of salah are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you connect with it, you return to the origins, which is back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should try to consider this each and every time you pray and you worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will learn, inshallah al-Aziz, a few of the virtues and the beauties of salah, which will hopefully encourage us to establish the prayer as it should be prayed, and to maintain the prayer as it should be maintained, and honor the prayer as it should be honored. First of the things I want to remind you is the advice Do you know when somebody is passing away, we call it wasiyatnama, or the final advice that that person gives you, and you pay a huge amount of heed to that particular piece of advice. Why? This was his last words. These were her last words. These are the things that she wanted me or he wanted me to do before they passed away. Of course, we have that deeply embedded within our heart, the importance of that advice or that wasiyah that that person gives whilst they are on their deathbed, whilst they are returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at the wasiyah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that when he was on his last few moments during his physical life here in the dunya, when he was there, what advice did he give? What was one of the final advices that he gave to his wife to share with the rest of humanity? He said, "As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum," that safeguard your salah and take care of everything which is under your control, i.e. your subordinates, i.e. whatever you are responsible for, make sure you fulfill your trust and your responsibility towards that. But the first thing that he said, which is as-salah, could have said, take care of your properties, do this, and all, and even the other pillars of Islam, Siyam, Ramadan, Hajj, Zakah, various things. No, he said, as-salah. Because salah is that one fundamental pillar of Islam that is the trunk of our deen. Our iman is like the seed of a tree or of a plant, which grows and the roots grow. But the trunk of the tree is our salah. And after the trunk of the tree, then you have the branches and you have everything else that comes out. So if the salah is limited, or if the salah is deficient, and if the salah is not sound, then the branches will not grow. Then you will not see the flowering, and you will not see the fruits, and you will not see the benefits of that particular thing, that particular tree. So this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gave that final wasiyah, that reminder, that advice, that safeguard your salah. This is the most important thing that you need to do. And in other ahadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentions that the only real distinction, differentiation between a Muslim and a non-Muslim is salah. Because even if you look at non-Muslims, they give charity as well. Then getting, you see all of these charities registered here in the UK, they give plenty of money. You see them taking care of homeless people, you see them doing all of their rites and rituals and services as well. So they do majority of the things if you think about it. But the salah in that particular formal manner and format and the connection that you have, they do not perform that salah the way that we do. So this is why in that particular hadith, that the salah is the thing that distinguishes and makes a distinction between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. And in one ahadith, he mentioned that a person who doesn't pray salah, then he does not necessarily have the iman, that his iman is in question as well. So here we see the importance and the gravity of this wasiyah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam of salah, to safeguard it, to protect it, and to maintain it. And we should pay heed to this advice of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Without a doubt, we would do it if it was our parents. We say, Butter, make sure you do this, make sure you fulfill this, this, this. We'll keep that close to our hearts and make sure we do that for the rest of our lives. Why? Pure the wasiyat namasi, ma the wasiyat namasi, and you're going to maintain that. But what about the wasiyah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam as the ummatis, as the followers, as the lovers of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? What do we do at the time of Fajr? Do we remember this wasiyah? Do we remember this piece of advice at the time of Fajr? Or at the time of Zuhr or Asr or Maghrib or Isha? Do we remember this plea and this advice to uphold and maintain and stand by our salah? Or do we forsake it for the sake of warmth of our bed, or an extra half an hour within our beds, or various other things? Do we find excuses and reasons not to pray our salah? Same for Zuhr, I don't have enough time, whether I can either choose to have my lunch, or I can either choose to pray, or I always find excuses and reasons not to particularly pray our salah on time, and we find excuses to delay it or even do qaza of that particular namaz. So try to remember this wasiyah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam every Fajr. every Zuhr, every Asr, and every Maghrib and Isha, and remember this gift that was given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is the key and the means to strengthen your iman and your deen, and for you to flourish, and this is the key by which you will enter into the gardens of paradise. So it is entirely up to you whether you uphold the advice and the wasiyah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, or you continue to make excuses that we're too lazy, or we're too busy, or we're too tired, or we just don't have time, or you're ignorant of these things, or you're too arrogant to fulfill the commands of our deen, fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is to establish the prayer. Inna salata has been made farz upon you, mandatory upon you, because it's beneficial for you. Beneficial for your deen and beneficial for your akhirah as well. And the first question that we will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, in a hadith of Ibn Majah, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that indeed the first deed which a servant will be accountable for on the day of Qiyamah is his salah. If it is in order, i.e. if it is complete, if it is not deficient, if he has tried to the best of his ability, if he has nurtured it and strengthened it and maintained it, then he is successful and he will be saved. Why? Because remember the example I gave you, that your iman is the seed, are the roots of that particular tree. Your salah is the pillar, is the trunk of your tree and who you are. So if that is strong, then naturally it will flourish, it will grow, it will provide shade, it will fruit, and it will do all of these things. But if your salah is defective, if your foundations are weak and they have crumbled away, and you have not maintained your salah, if your salah is defective, then he has failed and he has lost. These are the words of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, who has gone into the future, who has seen the future, who knows what will happen, who is living in the present and has also seen the past by the command and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is saying that if you succeed in your salah, you will be successful in everything else. But if you fail, and if you are deficient and defective in your salah, then you have failed and you have certainly lost the point, lost the objective of why you've been sent here in the dunya. Because remember the journey of Isra and Mi'raj, the journey from Mecca via Medina to Masjid al-Aqsa, and from there all the way into the heavens. This is a journey. But like all journeys, they have a destination, they have a goal, they have a maqsad, they have a maqsood, they have an objective to achieve. Nobody gets up in the morning and sits in their car and drives around all through Ashton all day. Do you ever do that? Nobody drives around Manchester, nobody drives around the UK just aimlessly, without a goal, without a destination, without a tikana. You don't do that. You wake up, you don't need to get to work, and you go to work. You go to university, you go to university. You go to school, you go to wherever you want to go. You have a goal, you have an objective, you have a destination in mind. And this is the purpose of that journey. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam was trying to teach us that he went from Makkah via Medina to Masjid al-Aqsa, and he went through all of the heavens. He didn't stop and rest and think, that's it, this is my end destination. No, he continued to go until he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because his end goal and destination was وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ. His intaha, his destination, his goal was to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is also our ultimate destiny, our ultimate goal, that we will go back to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our ultimate destination is not the grave. That is just a stopping off point until we go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us that I sent you in the dunya, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I created you, I created jinn, I created entire humanity and civilization and creation for what particular objective and purpose? So that you could worship me, which is the best and sole form of worship. It is the worship of salah. It is the worship, this is the ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to perform. So how will you face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? With what ibadah will you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Therefore, to remember the poignant gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam of salah, the gift of salah, and the advice of the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam to the ummah. And the first thing that you will be questioned for on the day of Qiyamah will be your salah. And if we are successful, and if our salah is sound, then we will indeed prosper. But if we are defective and deficient in our salah, then indeed we'll be the biggest of losers on the day of Qiyamah. So the salah is the pillar of power. This is how I want you to understand and remember. It is the pillar of power. It is in the hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, imaduddin, the foundations and the core and the quintessence of your deen is your salah. And the example that I shall provide you with is electricity. We've got it on now. This projector is working with electricity, this computer, the lights, everything that we have, even the water that is running in the masjid and the underfloor heating, everything that you have in this masjid and most of the cars now, and everything that you have within your home, your mobile phones, your microwaves, your TVs, everything loves and lives and operates on electricity. The flights, the lighting, and even the Facebook that we can't live without, the Snapchat that our youngsters cannot live without, all of that. The entire internet, everything operates fundamentally on electricity. So it plays a pivotal and a quintessential role in the functioning of the technology and the functioning of the entire world. So what would happen if we removed electricity from your lives? Imagine, try to visualize that. So salah is the crucial energy. It is the electricity. It is that energy that is there for a believer, that directly impacts the believer on all of the other branches of your deen. And this is why the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam in Shu'ub al-Imani mentions as-salatu imaduddin, that the salah is the pillar of the deen. It is the thing that gives electricity and energy to the rest of your deen, enables you to grow, enables you to provide that quintessential energy so that you can practically do all of the other things in our deen, in our religion, in our life. So if your salah is in order and it is providing the energy, then the rest of your deen will be in order as well. The salah is that electrical current that gives you the spiritual charge, that gives you the physical, emotional charge for you to do khair, to do good, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to motivate yourself and other people to do good and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if your salah is lacking in any way, and if the current is slightly diminished and it's trickling in, then it will negatively impact your deen and also the remaining aspects of your deen as well. So what happens when you, especially the householders, the owners, when you don't pay your electricity bill? Ask your children and how they will react, with how they will behave. But what happens when you fail to pay your electricity bill and you miss one deadline and the second deadline and the third deadline? You get red letters, especially in Pakistan. They wait and they come straight away and they take your meter away. Jalbay. But what happens when you don't pay your electricity bill? You get anxious. Why do you get anxious? Because you have this fear that you will be disconnected from the main power source. You'll be disconnected from the grid. You'll be powerless. And you will struggle as a result. And you will suffer. All of the things within your home, your fridge, your freezer, your microwave, everything, your house, electrical items, you will suffer as a result of the loss of power. Similarly, neglecting your salah, which is the electricity, which is the thing that gives you energy, if you disconnect yourself from your salah, you are disconnecting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how you should truly understand what salah is. And when the way you fear the loss of this disconnection, you should also fear that you will lose the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you are disconnected from Allah, you are not praying, then why should Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you and your way of life and every single thing that you do? Similarly, the barakah in your life will also diminish as well as a result of you pulling away from your salah, pulling away from the connection and the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will see that there will be a reduction in the warmth, in the barakah within your home, and you'll have less and less motivation to do all of the right things, to do all of the good things, and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consequently will also be removed from your life as well. And when you lose the protection, when you lose the mercy, when you lose all of these things, then what will happen? It will be an open ground for the shaitan to come and attack you and do whatever you want. And this is when you will end up going into more and more things which are dangerous for you, i.e. it will lead you to the sins and the breakdown in your own particular deen. So this is why it's very important for you to understand the statement of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that your salah is the pillar, is the foundation, is the trunk of the tree that enables you to flourish and enables you to remain upright. And it is the electricity and the energy, that nuclear reactor, which allows you to grow and for you to flourish. And just the way that you are apprehensive and you are anxious and you are fearful, if your electricity were to be cut off, how would you operate and function? In the same manner, when you cut off from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cut off from you. And in one hadith, the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for somebody, He enables him to excessively and abundantly worship Him. Not just the fara'id, but the nawafil and the sunan and various other aspects as well. But when the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is away from a particular person, then He takes away the tawfiq. He takes away the ability from that person to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask yourself, that don't just think that, oh, you're not praying Fajr and you're not praying Zuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha, you have more time on your hands, you are only damaging yourself. You are only alienating yourself. You are only defecting yourself and moving further and further away from the protection and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until ultimately, when you return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you return and you'll be questioned, the first thing that you'll be questioned is about your salah. And if that is sound, you will be prosperous and you will succeed. But if that is defective, then you will have surely lost, not only in the dunya, but also in the hereafter. And I'll conclude with a final example from the life of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. And inshallah al-Aziz, next week as well, we'll do a few more points related to the importance and the virtue of salah. In the last few moments, because I gave you the advice of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam when he was returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum, that safeguard your salah. Then look at the life of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and that when he was stabbed, Miswar bin Makhrama, he came to see Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and he, upon entering, found that Amir al-Mu'mineen, he was covered with a sheet, i.e. he was unconscious at that particular time. So he asked those people that were present, that how is he? How is he? It should be he instead of her. How is he? And they replied that he is as you can see him, i.e. he is unconscious. He is suffering from the stab wound. As a result of that, he is unconscious. And he's not waking up. So then he said, Miswar thus advised them all, he said, wake him up by calling him for salah, as there is nothing else that you can do to awaken him in a more urgent manner than the salah itself. And as soon as they called him out for salah, even in his unconscious state, he woke up. Because salah is the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is the call to success. And this is why we say, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah. This is the call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, how can it not be that Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu ta'ala would not wake up and pay heed to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So how is it that we know what time Fajr is, we know what time Zuhr, Asr, and Maghrib is, yet we ignorantly and arrogantly ignore the calls and announcements to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards success, towards khayr, towards barakah, towards rahmah, towards protection, towards all of these things, when we ourselves cause our own destruction in the dunya, then why would it be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us on the day of Qiyamah when we wasted the tools and opportunities? So they called out, Salah, Amir al-Mu'mineen. And as soon as they did this, Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and he woke up and he exclaimed, and look at the comments, look at the statement that he made. He said, yes, by Allah, there is no share in Islam for the one who neglects Salah. Look at what came out of his mouth. He could have said, oh, can't you see I'm in pain? Can't you see I'm suffering? Can't you see I'm stabbed? And all of these things. No. He woke up and he said, yes, by Allah, i.e. I will pay heed and I will respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to salah, because there is no share in Islam for the one who neglects salah. And thereafter, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, he performed his salah even with the blood flowing from his wounds. And how many opportunities do we find? Oh, come on, darde, latnu taklifa, ad bo takya ga, karani khada, ye, wo, damka. All of these things, we find excuses, petty, silly excuses, not to pray, not to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The example I gave you earlier on, that when you have a journey, you always have the destination in mind. But when you have that destination in mind, even though there may be obstacles in your life, you still carry on. For example, Brother Farooq is a police officer. He knows he needs to get to work. But in the morning when he wakes up, there's a diversion in front of his house. There are potholes in front of his house. There are red lights in front of his house. There's an accident in front of his house. Do you think that will deter him from getting to his job, to get into his workplace, to achieve his goal and objective? No. Of course, he'll get up and he'll get to his job. Why? Because if he doesn't go, then he will no longer have a job. He will no longer be able to fulfill his responsibility, his contract, etc. As a result of that, do you think those things deter him from his goal? It doesn't. But when we get up, aj takya, I had a late night tonight, or I didn't eat something, you know, which is favorable to my stomach, this and that, we find all of the excuses under the sun not to pray Fajr, not to pray Zohar, not to pray Asr or Maghrib, and especially Isha. Very late, okay, Saturday, no. Saturday, that's 11 baje Tarawih, oye. I gotta wake up in the morning. Excuses upon excuses. We will make 100 excuses for our salah. We will not make 100 excuses for our work, for our university, for our studies, for our family, for our friends. We will overcome those obstacles to achieve our goal. Why do you not overcome these same obstacles to come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abad, to strengthen the ukhuwah between yourselves, and to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly enable us all to understand the majesty, the magnanimity of the greatest gift that was given to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which was the gift of salah. No other command was given to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in the heavens and beyond the heavens. Not Hajj, not Ramadan, and not any other command, only salah, which is the gift from the heavens given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who are we to neglect or to reject this beautiful gift from the heaven, this beautiful gift that connects us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshaAllah al-Aziz, we will continue next week as well to further strengthen our iman and inculcate within our hearts the importance of salah and the importance of encouraging each other to أقيم الصلاة, to establish the salah, not just pray it on a once off, but to maintain and to establish the salah on a daily basis, just the way we maintain our diet, our food, our intake, our wealth and everything else. This is the spiritual energy and the electricity that we require in order for our deen to flourish and for our deen to grow. And without this, we have no success in the dunya, and we'll most assuredly have no success in the hereafter without salah. وَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ جزاكم الله خيرا. کچھ اعلانات آپ حضرات سماعت فرما لیں.